Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Maitreya program on Auckland's 104.6 FM. Our program today was produced by our colleagues Teresa and David from Wellington. It is about UFOs, the Space Brothers, and contactees who, despite the possibility of public and official ridicule, have chosen to speak openly of their UFO and ET experiences.
We'll start with a passage from an article by Jared Artson called George Adamski, A Herald for the Space Brothers, which appeared in the October 2008 edition of Share International magazine. Now, Jared Artson has a master's degree in education and is an author, researcher, public speaker, teacher, and a Share International co-worker based in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. He begins his article with a quote by George Adamski.
It was about 12:30 in the noon hour on Thursday, the 20th of November, 1952, that I first made personal contact with a man from another world. He came to Earth in his spacecraft, a flying saucer. He called it a scout ship.
No lines in any of the multitude of books that have been written about UFO encounters are more famous or more disputed. These are the first lines of a chapter in part two of Flying Saucers Have Landed, in which George Adamski relates his meeting with a human being from another world in the desert center, Arizona. Adamski's claims were substantiated by six witnesses who were there with him on that day and signed affidavits sworn before public notaries.
Benjamin Krem, in the preface to his first book, The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, states that Adamski's description of the Space Brothers are very accurate and that, from his own experience, he could vouch for the authenticity of his contacts. Flying Saucers Have Landed became an overnight sensation when it was published simultaneously in the UK and the USA in September 1953. By December of that year, it had been reprinted six times, and in the USA, its 12th reprint took place 3 years later. It was followed in 1955 by Adamski's personal account of his experience inside a mothership manned by Masters from Venus, titled Inside the Spaceship.
In this book, he also writes about his discussions with several of the Space Brothers, to whom he refers by names that he chose himself. Adamski explains, "While I want to make it very clear that the names I am introducing for these new friends are not their correct names, I wish to add that I have my own very good reasons for choosing them and that they are not without meaning."
Of these experiences, Benjamin Krem has said, the only thing he omitted to say, he was probably unaware of the fact, was that they occurred at the etheric physical level, which vibrates at a higher frequency than solid physical.
Although much has been written about him since he published his personal experiences, Very little of it has involved much open-mindedness, and even today the internet is rife with malicious theories, accusations, derogative comments, half-truths and lies about the person who is considered to be one of the first modern contactees of the Space Brothers.
And since science had stated that there was no possibility for life on our neighbouring planets, very few authors deemed Adamski and his story worthy of serious investigation after his death on the 23rd of April 1965, aged 74.
Desmond Leslie, who was the co-author of Flying Saucers Have Landed, said he always believed in and trusted Adamski's sincerity. Of all the claims of people having met occupants of flying saucers in the wake of Adamski's story, one stands out for its curious details. Ernest Arthur Bryant became the centre of attention for the British media and the UFO community after reporting a sighting on the 7th of June 1965 near Skorriton, Devon in England. During the investigation, Bryant confessed to his investigators that he had already met three beings from space 2 months previously, in April that year, who gave him a conducted tour of their craft. He further revealed that one of the beings had said, "My name is Yamsky," or something that sounded very similar, while also speaking of Des or Les. The background and details of this incredible story were described in The Skorriton Mystery, Did Adamski Return?, which further gained significance when it was found that Mr. Bryant had no prior interest in UFOs, nor had he heard of George Adamski before his experience.
Another remarkable encounter in the same vein was described by Giorgio Di Bitonto in his book Angels in Starships, first published in Italian in 1983. In it, he describes how, in April 1980, he saw visions of a young man who had directed him to drive into the hills around Genoa. He was led into a clearing in a wooded valley where he saw a UFO that had landed and was met by the occupants.
He had regular contacts after this first encounter, and on one such, he was introduced to Space Brothers, who called themselves Orthon and Furcon, the same names that George Adamski used for the Space Brothers in Inside the Spaceships.
Then the author was introduced to a man by the name of George, an unusual name among Space Brothers. This, our brother, lived for a while on Earth, where he chose to come on an assignment. Now he has returned to us. Mr. Di Bitonto also met others described by Adamski.
While the events described in the Skorriton Mystery sound unlikely enough, it is even more tempting to dismiss Mr. Di Bitonto's story as the fantasy of a man seeking publicity based on the famous George Adamski. And although Adamski wrote of the unusual beauty, serenity and wisdom of the Space Brothers he met, he never referred to them as angels, as does Mr. Di Bitonto, whose main contact is called Raphael and whose story is infused with strong Roman Catholic references and warnings.
One could be forgiven then for consigning to the dustbin the notion of George Adamski having been their man on Earth, at least until we read the account of the meeting that the publisher of Angels and Starship, a former United States Air Force fighter pilot, Wendell C. Stevens, had with Benjamin Krem in May 1990. In the preface to Angels and Starship, he writes, "Mr. Krem affirmed that George Adamski's contacts were real and that some of them took place in the dense physical reality just as described by Adamski himself."
Answering questions about Adamski's contactors and whether they came from Venus, Mr. Krem readily replied that it was true. In fact, he added the information that there were many Venusians among us then, and even today, and that George Adamski was a Venusian spirit who had taken incarnation here for a very specific purpose, which he had fulfilled before leaving this realm in the death of his dense physical body. According to Krem, Adamski continued in his Venusian light body after that, which lends support to the Skoraton story.
This, however, does not cover the extent of the mystery that was George Adamski's life. He was born in April 1891 in Poland. His father was a poor carpenter who emigrated to America not long after George's birth. In her book, George Adamski, The Untold Story, Adamski's former co-worker in Switzerland, Lou Sinstark, references an early biographical detail which states that after a short period of formal schooling, Adamski was taught by private tuition. As his parents were poor and his father died when George was still a child, Mrs. Sinstag wonders how his mother could have afforded a private tutor at all.
Her wondering is seconded by author Henry Dohan, who claims to have had access to Adamski's private archives. He writes that, while en route to Dunkirk, New York, the Adamski party was befriended by a tall man with dark features, referred to as Uncle Sid. The stranger spent many hours in the company of young George throughout the voyage and eventually became a friend of the family after they had settled into their new home. In his book, The Pawn of His Creator, about the early UFO contactees, Mr. Dohan also writes that after the death of George's father, Uncle Sid effectively took over paternal responsibilities. What's more, when George turned 14, his benevolent uncle offered sponsorship of his further education and suggested sending George to Tibet to a monastery of lamas.
The number of years Adamski spent in Tibet varies depending on the source, from around 4 to 6 years. Here he learned to master the four elements, was taught the spirituality of the East, and practiced meditation. In 1936, 10 years before he first sighted a flying saucer, George Adamski published his first book called Wisdom of the Masters of the Far East. The book was a collection of answers to questions from his audience while he was a wandering teacher. This booklet covers most of the basic tenets of the Ageless Wisdom teaching, which Adamski referred to as universal law. Many books later, Cosmic Philosophy was the title of his last book, published in 1961.
George Adamski's motto, which he expressed in his lectures, is this: my advice to you is to help as many as you can. The greater the number you serve, the greater will be the understanding of yourself. This should be the motive of everyone who desires to fulfill the destiny for which he was born.
Undeterred by intimidation and undistracted by the fleeting riches of fame and money, George Adamski fulfilled his mission as the herald of the Space Brothers, broadening the horizon of many an earthling.
Desmond Leslie, the co-author of Flying Saucers Have Landed, was a screenwriter, film director, and pioneer of electronic music. He was a close cousin of Winston Churchill. He was also the author of a novel called The Amazing Mr. Lutterworth. Nearly 60 years to the day since this story was published, it again deserves to see light.
According to Benjamin Krem's master, the solution to the world's energy problems, the technology of light, which is being developed in cooperation with the Space Brothers, will be released when humanity has had a definite change of heart and accepts the principle of sharing. That change of heart, we have been told, will take place on the day when Maitreya mentally overshadows all of humanity and declares himself openly. Amazingly, exactly 60 years ago, Desmond Leslie brought together all these elements in an all-but-forgotten novel.
Leslie did state that his novel was actually 75% non-fiction and that the principal character was George Adamski.
While the story contains references to the cosmic philosophy of universal law about the oneness of mankind and the law of karma, as expounded in Adamski's book Inside the Spaceships, it is a General Assembly of the United Nations organization, which numbered 78 members when the novel was written, which is the backdrop for the grand finale of the story.
At the UN in New York, Mr. Lutterworth finally pieces the puzzle together and realizes he is really one of the space brothers who are working to save humanity. The scene that follows could almost be a script for the Day of Declaration when the brother materializes in front of the General Assembly. You can imagine the confusion, and these are words straight from the book. I raise my arms and the gasps and babble die down. I begin to speak the words we knew and decided long ago. Each hears me in his own tongue. As Lutterworth mentally overshadows all the members of the General Assembly, the brother fulfills his mission by distributing the crystals which were the key to the salvation of the world. And no single country or party can monopolize this technology. While he conveys these words, this power shall change the face of the earth. No more shall small groups nor even single men be able to rule multitudes through hunger in their bellies, for there shall be no more hunger, nor want, nor cold. And in time again, there shall be no more disease, for as man learns to live in harmony with nature instead of continually struggling against it, he will destroy the cause of disease. Now, I mention crystals because when we first meet Mr. Lutterworth, he is trying to regain his memory on a cruise liner which is going from England to New York. And he is in possession of these crystals, which he suspects are crucial, but he's had an unfortunate fall during the tour of the ship, which prevents him from remembering what it was. We continue to follow Mr. Lutterworth as he struggles to remember his mission, and the corporations and people who want to take away what he has to offer the world. It's a lovely little book, and while it may not win a Pulitzer Prize, it's definitely worth a read.
In his obituary for the July-August 1965 issue of Flying Saucers Review, Mr. Leslie wrote, "We shall miss George, miss him very much, but I cannot feel sad at his going. He gave his utmost to the work, and the world will never be quite the same place again. Richer for his coming, a little poorer for his going. But I don't believe by any means we have seen the last of him. If he is reborn on another planet, he has promised to come back and contact us when possible. Where with George, anything could happen, and usually does. Dear old spaceman, go in peace."
Dear old spaceman indeed. Now, we focused on Giorgio Di Botonto, the Italian contactee, and George Adamski, who is arguably the best known of the contactees. But as early as 1947, a man called Orfeo Angelucci, he published memoirs of his experiences with contactees, the Space Brothers. And there is quite a list of people throughout the decades who have published. And if you care to have a look at some of their books, they've been put together on a website. All you have to do is search for Our Elder Brothers Return. So if you just type in to a search engine, Our Elder Brothers Return, that will take you to the website. And click on UFOs and Crop Circles, and you go back down to Contactees. You'll see them all there. And that's our program. Most of it was written by David and Teresa from Wellington, and we've ad-libbed a bit of it as well. So thank you very much for joining us, and love and light, everyone.